Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
If you got a copy of God's Word with you, would you turn with me to Colossians chapter 3? Colossians chapter 3. I said this first service, I'm going to say it again this service. I really feel like today I'm on an assignment from God. I really feel like this is a word for you, a timely word. I think it's going to help a lot of us here today. Colossians chapter 3. This is going to be our main text in part 3 of our series, but we're also going to get to some supplemental text here in a little bit. But Colossians 3, I'm going to start in verse 12, go through verse 15. I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation, but if you got a different one, NIV, New King James, King James, you should still be able to follow along with me. Colossians 3, starting in verse 12, here's what it says. You are always dearly loved by God. That's a good reminder for us. So robe yourself with virtues of God, since you've been divinely chosen to be holy. Be merciful as you endeavor to understand others, and be compassionate, showing kindness towards all. Be gentle and humble, unoffendable in your patience. I want to say that one again. Unoffendable in your patience with others. Verse 13, tolerate. Somebody shout tolerate. Tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith, forgiving one another in the same way that you've been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. If you find fault with someone, release this same gift of forgiveness to them. Someone shout this out loud. It's a gift. Come on, shout it louder. It's a gift. Paul, who's writing here to the church, he says, hey, it's a gift of forgiveness you're called to give to others. Verse 14, for love is supreme. It must flow through each of these virtues. Love, I really like how the Passion Translation says this part. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. And so if you're in the room and you would call yourself a mature Christian, then you should love other people better than anyone else on planet Earth, especially those that you disagree with, okay? That's the sign of maturity. And let your heart be always guided by the peace of the Anointed One who called you to peace as part of his one body. Then the Apostle Paul, he throws this in at the very end. And by the way, cliff notes here, like sum this all up. It's like, you need to get this. Always be thankful. Always be thankful. Are you sure, Paul? Because we had a rough week. He says, yes, be thankful. So if you're taking notes, I'm calling this message, would you write this down? I'm calling it the grudge. The grudge. I think some of us have been holding some grudges, and I'm not talking about last week anymore. I'm talking about some deep pain, some deep wounds from our past, and God's going to really help us today. So that's my title, The Grudge. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. I thank you for this church. God, honestly, I'm just so humbled by what you did in first service. And I just pray, God, in this service, you would do a deep work as well. God, this is one of those messages that I just feel so strongly that I'm on assignment from you. That, God, it's not just some random message, but it's a message for this body in this moment at this time. And so I pray, God, all of us, even those that are maybe feeling a little uncomfortable in the room or online because of the topic, I pray for all of us, God, that we would lean in today. God, you want to heal. You want to set free. You want to move mightily in our midst. And God, it starts right now in this moment. So may you use me, God. May you speak through me. And may you do such a powerful work that we'll look back on today and say, that hey, that was the day that I moved forward. That was the day that God helped me let go of that grudge, let go of that pain, and move forward in healing. May this be that day for many. In Jesus' name, and if you believe it in faith with me, would you say amen? Come on, if you believe it in faith with me, would you say amen? Amen. Amen. You know, I'll never forget the true story that another pastor shared, and it wasn't me, I promise, okay? But another pastor, he tells this story of one day him and his wife, they had a lady from the church, a woman from the church come over to their house, and they're talking, they're having a good time, and then all of a sudden, this lady that comes over, she starts to just go at one of the other women in the church. Her name was Mary. And she starts to go on this tangent. You ever been talking to somebody before and like they just get carried away a little bit? And you can tell there's some real pain there. And she's just going after Mary. And this goes on for a while. And eventually it gets to the point that the pastor starts to think to himself, like, she must have had a huge argument with Mary last week. Maybe even yesterday, because this just feels fresh. Like there is venom coming out with her words. And so the pastor asked her, he asked her this, hey, can I just ask this? Just take a breath for a second. Can I just ask you, like, when did this happen? And she starts to count on her fingers and 1, 2, 3. She gets all the way up to the number 8. And so the pastor thinks to himself that she's about to say 8 days ago. But here's what she says. Pastor, next Tuesday, it will be 8 years ago. And he is shocked, like jaw hitting the floor, and he does a really bad job of hiding it, okay? And so this woman, she can see that the pastor's shocked, and she says this quickly. Now, Pastor, don't get me wrong. I've forgiven Mary for what she did, but I will never forget how that old devil treated me. That's what she says. And so the pastor's like, okay, she's going to be honest with me. I'm going to be honest with her. And so he shoots back to her. He says something like this. Excuse me, ma'am, but you're a liar. Y'all thought I said some tough stuff, okay, in my messages. He's like, you're a liar. You have not forgiven Mary. If you would have forgiven her, this little tiny thing that you have blown up to be so huge, you would have let it go years ago and moved forward. You would have not held on to that grudge any longer. Like, we wouldn't still be talking about this if you had really, truly forgiven her. And the moral of the story is this, friend, that when we hold on to a grudge, no matter how small or how big that it is, that when we hold on to it for days, weeks, months, years, some people even decades, it doesn't help. It actually makes things worse. Here's what it does. It takes that original offense that happened and it puts more hurt on top of it. It doesn't get better with time. We get bitter with time. And so today we're going to lean in to God's word, and we're going to learn how to get better and not bitter. We're going to learn how to let go and to find healing. And so I got two points from the text. I hope you'll write these down. Number one is this. The Apostle Paul, who's writing Colossians, he teaches the church then and us now. Number one, conflict can't continue without my contribution. I want you to let that sink in for a moment. Process it with me. Conflict can't continue without my contribution. This is where he starts in verse 12. You see, Paul makes it clear, friend, that you and I, we have a choice when it comes to the conflict in our life. Like, we say that we're powerless. We say that, you know what? Like I couldn't help myself, Pastor. Like, if you only knew what was going on, like, I couldn't help but say that. I couldn't help but do that. Friend, that's a lie. You have a choice to make. You have a decision to make. Like even this last week, like, you had a choice. No one made you. You had a choice to make whether you were going to shout at that person on 290 that did not know how to drive in winter conditions. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You're like, man, you should not be out on the road right now, right? You had a choice or not. Do you shout at them or not? And what do you shout if you shout? And by the way, just pro tip, they can't hear you when you shout, all right? So save your breath. Like you got a choice. No one's making you. You got a decision to make. Like, do you want to go scorched earth on CenterPoint Energy or ERCOT? Like, do you want to do that? That is your decision. Am I going to do that or am I going to withhold? Am I going to attack? Am I going to contribute or am I going to move forward? Can we just be honest for a second and we'll just have some therapy for the next 20 seconds? Would anybody be honest like me and you would say, you know what, Pastor, if I was honest and you're in church and God is watching, okay? And so, like, if you're honest, like, you could have maybe, and my hand's about to go up, if I could do both, but I got to keep holding the microphone, okay? Like, this is me, maybe it's you, but raise your hand here in just a second if you would say, Pastor, if I was honest, I maybe, just maybe, could have handled the loss of power and all the water issues a little bit better this past week. Okay, so I want to make sure I'm preaching to the right church, all right? So my hand's up too. Those that, hey, I'll keep it up for a second. Be proud of your dysfunction, okay? You can put it down, I'm just kidding. Like, we need help when it comes to conflict. And Paul would say, we have a choice. We have a choice. When life things in life go sideways, we have a choice, a decision to make. But honestly, that's not the depth of what Paul is talking about in this text. He's not talking about life necessarily going sideways. He's talking about relationships going sideways. Here's what Paul's saying. This is how you handle conflict with your spouse. This is how you handle conflict with your kids or with your parents or with your siblings, your close friends, your best friends, people in the church. This is how you handle that kind of conflict. And really, in my opinion, okay, my opinion for a moment, in my opinion, there's four ways that people handle conflict in relationships, okay? Not life, relationships. Would you write these down? And spoiler alert, the fourth one's the right one, but we're still gonna go through them together, okay? Number one is this: the first way to handle conflict is my way. We like that one, don't we? Like, it's my way, right? Like parents will say this to our kids sometimes: it's my way or the highway, right? I brought you into this world and I can take you out. Some of y'all said that to your kids and you don't want to admit it because you don't want CPS calling you, right? You're just like, no, it's my way. People that have this kind of response, and there's probably some people in the room online that this is your way you handle conflict. This is your default setting. But people like this are like, hey, I'm right. You're wrong. Get over it, okay? Or honestly, it's this. You're probably right and I'm probably wrong, but I'm still going to say I'm right. And so let's just move forward with this. Like it's my way or there's the door. And that happens in a lot of marriages. And there's some really bad consequences that happen on the other end of that handling, saying, you know what, it's my way. Here's the second one, your way. People that use this way to handle conflict, they're called the peacemakers, right? They'll do whatever they can to bring peace in the relationship. And some of you are like, yep, that is me, Pastor. Like, I know I'm right and they're wrong, but we'll just go with your way because I want peace. We'll just go. Yeah, I'm going to be miserable, but I guess we'll just let you get your way. Again, this is the kind of person that they like to sweep stuff under the rug. And then when people walk by and they see that big, huge hump there, they're like, what's that? Hey, don't ask. Don't ask questions. Just keep moving. Just keep going forward. This is the kind of person, they're like, let's just change the subject. Happy thoughts, right? Yeah, it's going to come out nasty in a few months. Yeah, there's going to be a huge blow up in about a year from now because that's as much stuff as I can shove under the rug. But this is a tactic that people use with relational conflict. Here's the third one, and a lot of people think this one's right, but it's not. It's halfway. Halfway. Okay, you got your way last time. It's my turn. It's my turn, right? I didn't want to do that last time. I didn't want to make that decision last time. And by the way, it blew up in your face, didn't it? So let me take a turn, right? And so that person half the time gets their way. You get half the time, your way half the time. And it's just not good. Here's why it's a problem. You're still miserable 50% of the time, okay? So it's not my way. It's not your way. It's not halfway. Here's the right answer: God's way. Would you write it down? God's way. Now, this way is not easy. It's not the easy road, but it's right. Now, maybe you're wondering to yourself, what's God's way? Pastor, I am so glad you asked. If you still got the Bible open, it's the first verse we read, Colossians 3:12. What does it say? Be merciful. Show mercy. Show compassion. Be kind. How many of y'all know that for whatever reason, oftentimes we are the most mean to the people closest to us? Some of us, like, this is going to really hit somebody hard, but y'all just know it's true. Some of us, we are more kind to the checkout person than we are to our spouse. That's convicting, isn't it? You're like, oh, that one hurt a little bit, but you're probably right sometimes, right? God says, be merciful, show compassion, be kind, walk in humility. Here's a big one, and it's the last one. We're going to spend some time on it. God's word says this: be slow to offense. Can we spend some time on that one? I taught you this before. I'm going to say it again. And this isn't new information, but it's just true information, okay? Here it is. In 2021, we live in a cancel culture, right? Like, we just do. Every time I'm scrolling through the news, I turn on the news, like, every time. There's somebody else getting canceled. Somebody else, they brought up stuff from like 50 years ago in their life, that one mistake they made, they'd already apologized for it, but they found it buried somewhere. They talked to some estranged like family member or friend. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? And they bring it back up like no one can change, right? Like no one can have forgiveness. And that's what we're talking about today, right? We live in this cancel culture where everybody is constantly offended. Constantly. Oh, pastor, you wouldn't believe it. I was texting with so-and-so, and the three dots popped up on the screen. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? And I could tell they were starting to text me back, and all of a sudden, poof, they stopped. And they didn't write me back for 24 hours, pastor. Are you kidding me? I saw the three dots, and they stopped. I am so offended. Pastor, they didn't invite me. They didn't include me. Pastor, I thought we were friends. Do they remember what I did for them 10 years ago? Do they remember? I walked their dog like half a block, pastor. I mean, come on. Didn't invite me. Pastor, I am so hurt. I am so offended. You won't let me preach on the platform, pastor. Yeah, I don't really love Jesus so much, but I got a word, you know. I don't know whose word it is, but I got a word. Oh, pastor, I'm so upset you wouldn't give me the solo. By the way, Tony killed it a second ago. Adele who? I mean, she's pretty good too, but she's not Tony. I call her Tony the Tiger Rufino, and you did a great job, Tony. So good. But like we're so easily offended, constantly offended. I can't believe what they said on social media. Well, why are we acting non-Christians to act, or like, why are we expecting non-Christians to act Christian, you know? But no, I'm so offended by their ungodly stance. Well, they're not godly, so why would they have a godly stance, right? So can I tell you this? Just stop for a second. Let me tell you this. If you are on a continuous search to be offended, you will always find what you're looking for. You and I, we can list 10 things without even thinking right now that's happening in this room. Somebody's offended that I'm wearing skinny jeans right now. Somebody's offended that I'm not wearing a suit and tie right now. Like, I'm just telling you, like, we are constantly offended and it must stop. That is not God's way. Here's God's way, supplemental text. James chapter 1, 19 through 20, it says this. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Jot it down. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. I got to tell you, so many times in my life, I was approaching a moment where I knew there was going to be conflict, even when I was caught off guard and wasn't expecting conflict in that relationship. There's so many moments that I pray this underneath the sound of my voice. I whisper it to God. God, would you help me, like, to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. That's God's way, friend. That's God's calling for you. Can I tell you something? Can I encourage you with something? God's calling on your life, it is greater than all of the offenses behind you. Can I say that again? I don't think you caught it yet. God's calling, his purposes for your life ahead of you, they are so much greater than every single offense behind you. Like, your life is too short. You're calling too great to be offended so easily. That's not God's way. God's way is quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Here's the second point, and we're going to spend some time on this one, and we're just going to get deeper and deeper as we see God do a fresh work in us. Here's the second one, number two. We forgive because God forgave. You have to process some things with me today. This isn't a surface level kind of a message, okay? We forgive because God forgave. This is where the Apostle Paul goes next, right? Verses 13 through 15 of Colossians chapter 3. But even like right at the beginning of that, he doesn't go all the way at forgiveness. What does he say? That you should tolerate others. That's where he starts. To tolerate others. In other translations, it says it this way, that you should bear with one another. In other translations, it says it this way, you should put up with one another, and maybe you're thinking, like, what do those things mean? Here's what it means. Like, original biblical context, if you study it, here's what he's talking about. That you and I, if we're believers in Jesus, that we would restrain from our natural reaction towards difficult people. That we would restrain, that we would hold back. Y'all know the type of people we're talking about, difficult people, right? We call them spiritual vampires. They suck the life right out of you, right? Like, we all got people in our lives that, like, 5 minutes with them feels like 5 years. And Paul says, man, there's going to be people in the church, outside the church, relationships that you have, and your natural reaction is going to be what? To belittle those people, to gossip about those people, to avoid those people. Hey, I hadn't seen Johnny in a year in church. It's because you avoid Johnny every single time, right? Like Paul says, don't do the natural tendencies. Don't be led by your flesh. Be led by the Spirit. He says, tolerate others, but then he quickly pivots and turns to deep forgiveness of others. He says, we should forgive others because God has forgiven us. Now, some Bible scholars believe that Paul is actually echoing back to a specific parable, a story that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 18, verse 23. I'm not going to read it. You can write down the reference if you want to study it later on this week. But here's essentially what Jesus says in that story. He tells his disciples, his best friends, okay? He tells them that they should forgive someone who hurts them 490 times. The phrasing he uses is 70 times 7. And I could preach a whole message on the context, but here's really what you need to know for today's purposes. Jesus was not telling his disciples that they should stop forgiving someone when they get close to 500. No. He's using hyperbole for effect. Here's what he's saying. Here's what you need to get today. Like, receive this, friend. He's saying God did not place limits on his forgiveness for you, and so you should not place limits on your forgiveness for others. That's what he's saying. That God didn't put a limit on his forgiveness for you, and so you shouldn't put a limit on your forgiveness for other people. Now, knowing we should forgive someone and actually forgiving someone, there's a difference there. Can we just be honest? Again, we're in church. God's with us. Like, can we just be honest? Like most people say, like, it's good to forgive someone, but actually forgiving someone, especially when they've hurt you deeply, especially when they've hurt you repeatedly, that's more challenging and that's more difficult. Like, even our kids, I talk about my kids all the time, and our 7-year-old son and our 3-year-old daughter, they're incredible kids. All three of our kids are. But oftentimes they'll get on each other's nerves, which is what happens, right, in relationships. And they'll do something or say something to hurt the other person. So we make them apologize to each other. And you would think that we were torturing them, right? Like, just to even get them to stand up and look them in the eye, you know, and say, I'm sorry. You know, you're like, you barely even hear them. Say that again. Like, are you speaking in tongues? Like, what's happening? Sorry. You know, it's like, no. Like, look at your brother. Look at your sister. Say I'm sorry and say I forgive you. Like, it's hard to actually live out what we're talking about. Okay, so let's just be real about that. Again, especially when the offense, the wound is deep and when it was repeated over and over again. And personally, I think one of the reasons it's so difficult to forgive others is because we feel like they don't deserve our forgiveness. You've maybe even said that to someone. Man, I'm really trying to forgive them, but I just don't feel like they deserve it. Like, what they did was so great, so hurtful, so painful. I thought I could trust them, and they misused and they abused that trust, and they manipulated things, and they just don't deserve my forgiveness. And if you've ever felt that way like I have, please hear me today. This will be the best thing I say all day, so I hope you'll write this down. Forgiveness isn't about fairness, it's about freedom. I'm going to say that again as loud as I can. Forgiveness is not about fairness, it's about freedom. Thank God that he has not been fair to us. What does that mean? I'll tell you, Psalms 103, another supplemental text, one of my favorite psalms out of all 150 of them, verses 10 through 12, it says this: he, God, does not treat us as our sins deserve. Friend, you and I, we deserve death. We deserve hell. That's what we deserve. That's fair. But thank God that he does not treat you and I that way. Thank God that he does not give us what we deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. So forgiveness is not about being fair. It's about you being set free. It's not about justice. It's about your freedom. Well, pastor, how much should I forgive that person? Like, they really hurt me. How much should I forgive? I'm going to answer your question with a question. Here it is. How free do you want to be? How free do you want to be? If you want to be 100% free, shackles off of your life, your past no longer aborting your God-ordained future, then you must forgive. Return that gift to them, the same gift that God first gave you. But it's hard, isn't it? It's not easy. I can see it on your faces. I saw it on the faces of those here first service. It's not easy to forgive. It's not. I know several of you, you're thinking this, pastor, I want to get there, but I'm not there. I want to get there, pastor, but I'm not there. And I can honestly relate to what you're feeling, what you're going through. Similar to all of us, it's not unique with me. We all have stories. Similar to all of us, I've got some big moments in my life when I was crushed by someone else. You know, the kind of situation where you were already low and they kicked you while you were down. It's hard. People in my life, they hurt me and they hurt me deeply. I'm gonna share my heart for a second. And what I'm about to share with you first, I've only shared, according like to my best recollection, I've only shared it individually with people in counseling sessions, sessions where I'm helping somebody get through something. I don't think I've ever shared it on a platform before in this church or any church. And so I'm going to open up. So I hope you'll respect this moment and hear my heart. A lot of people don't know this, but during a short season of my childhood, I was sexually abused. Awful, the things that took place. And this isn't talked about in churches. And I'm going to get this number wrong, but it's something like 1 out of every 4 people in America have been sexually abused. We should talk about it. We should be open about it. It happened to me. It was a friend of the family. My family didn't know what was going on. No one knew. It happened when I was little. And what took place with me, if you've been sexually abused, it may have taken place with you. But I subconsciously suppressed it. It happens pretty often. And honestly, it didn't come out. Like, the memories did not come out until I was in Bible college. Like, years and years later. So here I am. I'm trying to study God's word and learn how to preach. Some of y'all are like, you need to keep learning, okay? Pray for me. But like, trying to learn how to pastor. And all of a sudden, I'm having these horrible memories of what took place, what happened, and I'm seeing that person's face, and the replay is happening. I'm not telling you this to make you feel sorry for me. I'm just trying to be open and honest. When that first started happening, it was hard to forgive. It was difficult. It's not easy. I've shared a little bit about this next one, so I'll be brief, but a little over 10 years ago, I had a pastor really, really hurt me. Some of you, that's your story, a pastor or a church from the past really, really hurt you and wounded you. Maybe you like made one mistake and kind of excommunicated you or talked bad about you or belittled you. I hear stories from people that happened in the middle of a service like this, where a pastor would just get on to somebody. By the way, you don't go to that kind of church, okay? You're safe here. But I had a pastor, and I'll just be honest with you, I made a mistake. I was not blameless. But I made a mistake, and I was at my very lowest my entire life, and he cut into me. He said some things that were really, really hard. Really hurt. Talking about my calling and all. It was difficult. Somebody I thought I could trust. Just being honest with you here. To make matters worse, and this has happened to some of you, a little later on, not much later, a little later on, he calls me. And I wouldn't have even answered the phone, but his first name was the same first name of another pastor that I knew. And actually, the other pastor's image came up for whatever reason. I don't know. So I answered it because I thought it was someone else, and then I hear his voice. And that pastor, he acted like nothing ever happened. And not only that, but he asked me to help him. Some of you have been through something like that. That person pretends like it didn't happen, but it happened. Now, I wanted to say some things that I didn't say, right? My mom and dad were in first service, and my mom was actually in the car with me as it all took place. This next one I've talked about a little bit before as well, so I'll be brief, but in Dallas before I came here, and again, I'm not trying to get you to feel sorry for me. I'm just telling you, I can relate to it being difficult to forgive. We all have stories like the ones I'm telling. The church I was at in Dallas before this one was also a church revitalization, just like this one here in Houston. And I'll never forget those first several years, how difficult it was. I'm still a young man, of course, even younger then. I was a couple of years or so removed from Bible college. And I experienced for the first time inside the church somebody lying to my face, saying I did something I did not do. It was happening to all of us. In fact, I remember, I've told this story to the staff, but I remember, I don't know if y'all remember those family business meetings on Sunday nights. Anybody remember those? Like we called them a cute little name, family meeting, right? They were awful. We don't do those here, okay? Here's what happens at those family business meeting. Somebody hasn't been to the church service in 2 years. They show up that night, and everybody gets a chance to talk on the microphone and say what they don't like about the pastor, what they don't. Some of you are like, what, y'all did that? Yes, that was a big part of church culture. Oh, my church wasn't like that. Well, you're one of the only churches that wasn't like that. So I'll never forget, there was this one Sunday night, we had a family business meeting, and it was my job to hold the microphone for people as they said what they didn't like about what was happening. And I got good leadership advice. It was actually really good, that, hey, you need to try to hold on to the microphone. Don't want anybody to hog it and, you know, take an hour saying and all this stuff. Like, so it's brief. So I had to walk around and hold the microphone. I remember, never forget, I told the staff this, that I held the microphone in front of this gentleman, and everything he was saying was attacking me. So there I am, young pastor, I'm holding the microphone for a man in a public setting like this who is lying about me, belittling me, misrepresenting my heart. And I'm trying to smile, but I'm like dying on the inside. So what are you saying, pastor? I'm saying, like, I can understand that oftentimes it's hard to forgive. It's not a light switch that you turn on and off, especially if the offense is great or repeated. I tell people it's like a dimmer switch, right? It slowly, day after day, turns off. Day after day, it gets dimmer, dimmer, dimmer. So how'd you get through that, pastor? How did you forgive? How did you let go of that grudge? Can I give you some real practical help? This is what I did. It helped me. It will help you. Every single time that the devil brought back to my mind what they did or the image of that person, had a nightmare, whatever it is, every single time that happened, I prayed. I prayed. I prayed for myself. I prayed. I didn't pray pretty prayers. I prayed ugly prayers. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, there was no King James language in my prayers. They were prayers I would not want you to hear today. They were not meant for a platform. They were meant for a person in a valley with God. They were honest prayers. Here's literally what I prayed. God, I know you love this person, and I am really, really struggling to love them too. God, I know that you want to move in their life, and you can do that if you want, but I don't really want you to. That's what I prayed. That's that's an ugly prayer. I did that every single time. And at the very beginning of those occurrences, it wasn't just daily that those images and those thoughts came flooding back in my mind. It was moment by moment. Almost like every minute it felt. But I got to tell you, as I walked that process, as I walked that journey with Jesus, eventually that healing, it just continued to flow, that forgiveness continued to flow. To this point today, I have completely forgiven them. In fact, it was even challenging to think of these things, these examples to give you today. Like, I knew the Holy Spirit wanted me to be open and honest and transparent as your pastor. I don't think about this stuff anymore. Why? It no longer has power over me. I have let go of the grudge because of Jesus' forgiveness for me. And friend, there's hope for you. It's not about fairness. It's about your freedom. It's you no longer allowing that wound from the past to fester. It's you walking in forgiveness daily. For some of you, moment by moment, not because they deserve it, but because Jesus is healing me and I will no longer be bound by the pain of the past. If God can do it in my heart, He can do it in your hearts. If God can do it in my life, there is nothing special about me. If God did it for me, He can do it for you. Because He's forgiven us, we can forgive others. I know it's hard to forgive, but you can with the help of the Holy Spirit. I need to say a couple more things. I've been preaching a little bit, teaching a little bit. Let me teach some more. This is so important. I've been telling you what forgiveness is. Let me tell you what forgiveness isn't. Forgiveness isn't pretending it didn't happen. Hear that. It's not pretending like, oh, you know what, no big deal. No. It happened. It hurt. It was not good. It did not honor God what happened to you. I got to tell you, it's not pretending it didn't happen. It's just saying, you know what, I will no longer allow that wound to continue on into my future. This is health. Can I tell you something else? When you follow Jesus, not everybody here is following Jesus, I get that. But when you follow Jesus, when He saves your soul, forgiveness doesn't just flow to you, it flows through you. It's a gift that you re-gift to other people. Forgiveness is giving others what God has already given you. It's not a pretty process, but it's a healthy process. I want to say one more thing. This is so important. I say this anytime that I talk about forgiveness or bitterness. I want you to know something. I've forgiven those people, and I have also set up healthy boundaries in my life. Can your pastor teach you for a second from experience? There's people underneath the sound of my voice that you have somebody right now who's hurting you in some way. You need to remove yourself from that relationship now. Can I get an amen in God's house? Come on, can I get a better amen in God's house? Now. You call the police if you have to. You talk to the authorities if you have to. You talk to myself, one of our staff, one of our elders, a counselor. I am pro-counseling, y'all. God works in and through mighty men and women of God who they've got a degree in counseling, a gift from God to use to help other people like myself. So I set up healthy boundaries, and you need to do that as well. And if you're getting hurt right now, it doesn't have to be just physical or sexual. It could be verbal, anything like that. You reach out. You tell somebody. You invite a godly man, a godly woman to enter in, to share, someone you can trust to help you in that process of healing. I said earlier, the best thing I was going to say was back then. Here it is now. You are not alone. You are not alone. And with God's help, He can do for you what He's done for me. Let's pray together. Jesus, You're moving mightily. I sense it. I feel Your presence here in this room. And friend, I want you to close your eyes and bow your head as best as you can in the room online, because really, this is a critical moment. I pray firstly, God, for those that have been handling conflict the wrong way. it's been my way. Or they just default to the other person having their way, or they go halfway. God, I pray that we would do things your way, God's way. Help us to be better at handling conflict. Help us to be like Colossians 3:12. Help us to show mercy and kindness, to walk in humility. God, help us to be compassionate. Help us to be slow to offense. Help us to more accurately represent you, Jesus, on earth. I pray, God, right now, you're doing a deep work. I sense it. I feel it. I pray right now, God, that you would help those that are struggling with unforgiveness, that are struggling with bitterness. In Jesus' name, I pray that grasp, that hold, those shackles, that they would be broken in Jesus' name right now. The calling ahead of your people is greater than the offenses of the past. I pray, God, no longer would those wounds fester and go untouched. I pray even now we would invite you into a deep work in our hearts and our souls. That God, we want to be free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. May you bring that freedom right now, that restoration right now. I pray, God, that you would heal minds, that you would heal dreams. There's people, I just feel this in my heart, friend. There's people you've been having nightmares about what happened. May they be done in Jesus' name. Protect dreams. Protect hearts. I pray, God, that, and I didn't pray this first service. You're wanting me to pray it now. I pray, God, in this service, that those have been struggling to forgive themselves. Friend, God forgives you. Why would you ever hold yourself to a higher standard than God holds you to? God forgives you. Psalms 103. How great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed your transgressions from you. He loves you, and if you ask him to forgive you, he is faithful to forgive. New start, fresh beginning. God, I pray that forgiveness would flow not just to us as Christians, but through us. That we'd extend that same gift. And God, may we understand, it's a process, forgiveness is. If it's a big hurt, it's not a light switch, it's a dimmer switch. And I pray even now, God, that as those memories and those pictures come back to mind, that God, you would help us, that you would heal us, that even now we begin that process, even though we don't really want to do it, honestly, we begin that process to do our best to pray for that person, for that pastor, for that church. God, may you move in their life. May we no longer be slaves to what happened back then. Thank you for your freedom and your healing work that you're doing in every heart and every life. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. And I pray, God, tonight and tomorrow, that you would help us to walk in your freedom, to live out what you've begun today. Jesus, thank you for your forgiveness that we now extend to others. And it's in Jesus' mighty, matchless, powerful, healing name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcove.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcove.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.